Hey guys, welcome to the Filming with Josh podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Milligan, and this week I'm going to tell you my story. From where I grew up to how I got started into video production, this podcast covers how I began my journey into this career and how I launched Rustic River Media. If you want to learn more about how you can start a career and a business like I did, then this podcast is for you.
This is the Filming with Josh podcast. Brought to you by Rustic River Media. Welcome to the videographer's home for tips, tricks, and how to make flicks.
Before we dive into the podcast, I want to mention the Filming with Josh Facebook group. If you're an active follower of this podcast, you've heard me talk about this group before, but if you haven't, then go onto Facebook and type in Filming with Josh and ask to join the group today. The Filming with Josh Facebook group is a place where you can come to learn a little bit more about video production, photography, editing, and the business that goes with it. So hop on over to Facebook, type in Filming with Josh, and become an active member today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the owner and executive producer of Rustic River Media. But before I started Rustic River Media, I was nothing but a small town kid from Texas. So how did I get into this field? That's a question that I get asked a lot, and it's a great question to ask because a lot of people want to do video production or want to do photography, but they're not quite sure how it is that you can get into something like that. And so in this podcast, I'm not going to tell you the answers on how you can go out and start your own company, but hopefully, but by telling you my story, you can learn a little bit more about how a regular person like me can start a career just like this. I grew up in a town called Wimberley, Texas. I lived there. I was actually born in Colorado, in the mountains in Colorado, but we moved to Wimberley when I was just about 1 year old. And we lived in Wimberley until I was about 11. And then in 2001-ish, 2002, we moved to a small town called Italy, Texas. And Italy, Texas is south of Dallas. And if you blink, you miss it. It's a tiny little blip on the radar. And it was a 1A school that I went to, and we had 11-man football, not 6-man football, but it was small enough where it almost could have been 6-man football. And it was just a small town, but it was a great experience for me because I knew everybody. I knew everybody in my class. I knew everybody in almost every class and pretty much everybody in the town because, I mean, there was just hardly anybody that lived there. And my interests growing up were, I love sports. I was a big baseball player. I played baseball my whole life. And I played football and ran track. I did all different kinds of things. But I love being outside. I love being in sports and I love being in the woods. I'm a big hunter and a big fisherman. And I love all of those types of things. And just being active has always been a big part of my life. And when I was in high school, I kind of started thinking about what field I wanted to go in. And for a long time, I wanted to do sports journalism. I really enjoy writing. I always have. I actually took 4 English classes, college English classes in high school as dual credit classes before I ever even got to college. And a part of it was because those were classes that were offered in for dual credit at my school. But another part of it was because I genuinely enjoy writing. And I always thought, you know, maybe I could go to college and learn to be a sports journalist because I love writing and I love sports and I love reading articles on like ESPN and things like that. So I thought, man, that would be a good fit for me. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized how competitive that field is and how tough it may be to kind of get into it. And around that time, I also started to realize that I felt like my calling in life, at that time at least, was to be in the outdoor industry of some sort. And I loved hunting and fishing so much that I decided that maybe the best route for me was to go to college to learn a lot about wildlife management so I could have a career in wildlife management, whether that was something to do with parks and wildlife as a biologist or whether that was managing a big ranch somewhere. I wasn't quite sure. I just knew that I love being outside. I love hunting and I love fishing. And I felt like I had a better chance at getting a job in that field than I did in sports writing. So I decided to go to Stephen F. Austin State University, which is the home of the Lumberjacks. If you follow NCAA basketball at all, then you've heard of us. We typically make it to the NCAA tournament every March, and I'm not quite sure if we're going to make it there this year, but normally we do, and we usually make some noise, pull off some upsets. And so SFA is where I went, and I loved SFA. It was a perfect size school for me. It has, I think the total enrollment is like 13 or 14,000, somewhere around there. It's not a tiny school, but it's not too big either. I mean, we're NCAA Division I basketball, but our football is like NCAA Class II or Division II or something like that. I mean, we're not big enough to compete with some of the bigger schools out there in some of our sports. Because we are a little bit smaller of a school. But the population was good for me because I came from such a small town, and I originally had applied and got accepted at A&M, and that's where I had my sights set for a long time. But until I visited SFA and I saw how beautiful the campus was and how great the wooded areas of East Texas were, and I fell in love with SFA, and I thought, man, forget becoming an Aggie. SFA is for me, and that's where I went to school, and I'm so glad I did. SFA also had a killer wildlife management and forestry program, which is what I went into, and I studied forestry and wildlife management for 2.5 to 3 years until I started a video production company. But how I started that company was after my first year of college, and I started college as a sophomore because I took so many dual credit classes in high school. I was already qualified to be a sophomore in college. So I started college as a sophomore. And after my first two semesters ended, my first year of college, I accepted an internship position with Texas Parks and Wildlife. And my job was to be kind of an intern biologist, if you will. And what we did was, is we were managing a little over a 2,000 acre piece of property in East Texas. And the property we were managing was actually purchased to be a waterfowl management site, but it also had a lot of white-tailed deer. It had turkeys. It had a lot of hogs, which we tried to get rid of, and alligators and just all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was a really neat piece of property. And I took an internship position there after my first year of college, and I lived on site. And my jobs included driving a tractor all day, mowing stuff. I had to disc places that we were going to burn. I had to do wildlife surveys for alligators and wildlife surveys for birds and things like that, and just a lot of outdoor hands-on stuff. And it was a lot of hard work, and anybody who lives in Texas knows it gets hot in the summer, and anyone who lives in East Texas knows it gets really hot in the summer because you have the humidity to go with the heat. And so it was definitely something that I had to work at, but I loved every minute of it. I loved being out in the woods every day. And I was convinced that when I graduated college, I for sure was going to try to get a job with Parks and Wildlife. And I knew in the grand scheme of things, I would never make a lot of money, but I also knew that I was going to love my job. And to me, that mattered more than anything. And during my first internship with Parks and Wildlife, it was a paid internship, and I decided to save up some of the money I had made since I was basically living rent-free and take that money. And I went to Best Buy one day and I bought my first HD camera. I had already had a little point and shoot Sony camera, but I went and bought an HD video camera, and I took it out with me every day when I was on a tractor or doing an alligator survey, or no matter what it was I was doing, I always had my video camera with me, and it took little still pictures too, little like four megapixel still pictures, something like that. But I would take that camera with me everywhere, and every time I'd see a wildlife photo opportunity or an opportunity to shoot some cool video of some wildlife, I would do it. I would shoot video, I'd shoot photos, and I'd just put together little video clips, and I'd put my photos on Facebook, and I loved it. And people really liked watching me post that stuff, and they'd follow me online, and it was really cool. You know, I really enjoyed it. And I went back to school my second year of college, and I ended up getting that internship again. And same thing, my second summer as an intern for Parks and Wildlife at the same place, I took the camera back out with me and shot a bunch more footage, and I loved it. And around that time, I realized that I really liked shooting pictures and video. I realized that this is something I thought I might could make a little money at. And at the time, I never really thought about turning it into a career. I just thought it was something I could do on the side that I would enjoy, that I could make a little money at while I was in college. And so after my second internship, when I started my third year of college, I got a job as a bow tech at a archery shop there in town where I was going to school at Nacogdoches. And while I was working at the bow shop, I came up with this idea that I'm going to start a company and I'm going to go out and I'm going to film people's hunts and I'm going to make money doing it. I'm going to put together really cool videos and act like I'm an outdoor TV host, and I'm going to go around and I'm going to film all these hunts and make money at it and maybe make a name for myself. And I came up with this idea to do that, and I called myself Broken Pine Outfitters was the name of it. And I ended up trying to market myself to get business like that. And one day, a friend of mine, whose dad had recently passed away, his uncle told him, he said, "Hey, you know, if you ever need anything, you know, let me know. What happened to your dad was tragic, and I want to be there for you. And if you ever need anything from me, then let me know." And that guy said, "Hey, you know what? I have a friend of mine who wants to start a video production company filming hunts, and I think it'd be really cool to do that with him. Is there any way you would consider investing in that and helping us start it together?" So my friend approached me and told me that about his conversation he had with his uncle, and I totally took him up on the opportunity, because to me, I had no other way to financially get the equipment I needed. I mean, I had a little HD camera, but at the end of the day, I didn't have the microphones, I didn't have lights, I didn't have a real tripod, I didn't have those things. And I knew I needed those things in order to really make money, to be able to charge anything. So I told my friend, I said, "You know, this sounds like a good opportunity. Let's create a partnership." And so my friend and I, and his uncle and his uncle's business partner, created a partnership, and we created Broken Pine Outfitters. And what we ended up doing is they gave me money to become silent partners in my business. And my friend and I were supposed to teach ourselves how to shoot video professionally. And so we took the money they gave us and we went out and we bought some professional video cameras. We bought lights, we bought microphones, we bought everything we thought we would need. There was a company called Campbell Cameras that is still around today. And Campbell Cameras deals primarily in helping outdoor videographers for the hunting and fishing industries get camera gear, and that kind of sell them the gear that they feel is catered toward those industries. And so we had contacted them and told them what we were going to do and asked them what we needed. And they kind of put together a list for us of all these different pieces of equipment. And that's what we ended up ordering. And so we ordered the equipment and we started teaching ourselves how to shoot video. And we were out filming all kinds of stuff. We thought, man, we need to film our hunts. We need to get footage and all this stuff so we can put together marketing videos to send to people to get them to hire us. Well, about 7 or 8 months into that, our partnership kind of fell through. And the reason is because, to be quite honest, I don't think I was ready at that time to own a business. I was still going to school. I knew nothing about business at all. I didn't quite know how to financially handle the money. I didn't know hardly anything about video, and I was teaching myself, but I was having a hard time juggling everything. And so we blew through the money kind of quick that they had invested in us, and we weren't making anything. And so after about 7 or 8 months, our partnership fell through. But my grandmother, she always believed in me, and she knew I was really passionate about my business idea, and she knew that this was something I really wanted to do. So she called me up one day and she said, "I know what happened and that your partnership fell through, but I don't want you to give up on your business. I believe in you and I want to help you out." So she offered me some money and she said, "I want to give you some money and I want you to go out and buy whatever gear you think you need and I want you to keep going." So what I did is I took the money she offered me, which was about half of what my investors had to offer me. So it wasn't quite as much to play with, but it was enough. And what I did was I went and reordered all the gear, because when we broke up the partnership, I gave them the gear back so they could sell it and get some of their money back. I went and ordered new gear, but this time I ordered some different things. I had learned from the 6, 7, 8 months that our partnership was intact what gear that I liked, what I didn't like. And so I took that knowledge and I went and purchased a package of gear that I thought would be appropriate for what it was I was wanting to do. I also decided I kind of wanted to change my business model a little bit. And instead of just filming people hunting, I wanted to branch into maybe doing some promotional videos and doing some commercial work and stuff like that. And to show my grandmother how serious I was about this, I changed my major. I was a senior in the wildlife management program, but I changed my major to business management so I could learn more about business and marketing and the financial side of things. And so I could just really take this serious. And I even went to a film school with an outdoor television show called Heartland Bowhunter up in Missouri. And I went up there and I spent a few days over the summer kind of taking a crash course with those guys. And I learned a little bit more about video production. And when I came back from doing that film school, I hit it hard, man. I started putting my name out there everywhere. I had business cards printed. I changed my name to Broken Pine Outdoors when I started my company back up with my grandmother's investment, because I wanted to make sure that people didn't see me as just an outfitter person. I kind of thought that the name Outfitter made me sound, Broken Pine Outfitters made me sound like I was either a clothing store or I owned a hunting outfit, one or the other. So I changed it to Broken Pine Outdoors. I had business cards made and I made some flyers and I put them all over town and I started hitting up social media and I shot my first promotional video for myself and ended up making another promotional video on top of that. And I just started putting myself out there. And lo and behold, I ended up towards the end of the summer after my third year of college, I ended up getting my first ever paid client. I didn't make much money. It was like $700, but I got paid something. And what it was is I got hired to go film some breeder bucks at a whitetail, a deer breeding facility, and to make a promotional video about this deer to go be played at a trade show. And I didn't know anything at the time about After Effects, but I knew that I needed to have some special cool looking effects to put the names of the different deer on the screen. And I wanted their logo to come on kind of cool, and I wanted the logo to end kind of cool. And so I taught myself, and just, I don't know, it was like 3 or 4 days. I went and I shot this video and I taught myself After Effects and I put together the best video I could possibly make for this company. And it ended up blowing them away. They said they had never seen a breeder video like that before. And I think what helped me was the fact that I knew nothing about breeder bucks. I knew nothing about deer breeding. And I'd never been around it and I'd never seen a breeding video before. So I just kind of put my own spin on it from what to me seemed like a good idea. And I think because I wasn't influenced, it actually was a benefit, because I put together something that was different than what was the industry standard. And that's a lesson that I still carry through to today, because I've learned in my career to try and minimize how much influence I get from an industry standard for a video or a product. And I mean, I always want to be aware of what's out there and what people are doing and what's trendy. But at the same time, I try to minimize how much influence I get from whatever the industry norm is, because I want to be able to bring in a fresh set of eyes and a fresh spin on things that I may not be able to do if I already had something set in the back of my head as, oh, this is what the norm is. But that's how I treated the deer breeding video, because I didn't know anything about it. And I guess ignorance is bliss, because it ended up being a huge hit at the deer breeding show that it played at, and I ended up getting a lot of work off of that. After that experience, I was really fired up. I thought, man, I finally have some paying clients and I'm starting to get my foot in the door. People are starting to notice me. Man, I actually might be able to make a career out of this. And so I really started hammering it hard. I went to trade shows like Dallas Safari Club and I passed out business cards and I started trying to get more non-outdoor stuff. And I even went as far as to approach my university and ask them if they would be interested in a commercial for the business department that I was attending. And lo and behold, I got one. I sold a video for quite a bit of money to the business department at the university. And I did a Nelson Rushi College of Business commercial for SFA's College of Business. And after I did that, I started getting even more clients, and it just started to kind of snowball because I put myself out there and I was doing videos for clients and just making sure that I was putting the videos I did do in front of new prospective clients to let as many people as possible know about me and my business. And it worked really well. About halfway through my senior year of college, and I say it was my senior year, but even though it was my senior year, I wasn't ready to graduate yet because I had changed majors after 3 years of college. I mean, I was already a senior by the time I changed majors to the business management department. And it was almost kind of like starting over. I mean, some of my classes carried over to the new degree, but I had a ways to go before I could graduate because I had to basically start in a new program. And so I was about halfway through my senior year of college, but I still had five, six, seven classes, something like that left to go before I could graduate. Around that time, I got an opportunity to move to Central Texas to be the lead producer for an outdoor television program about deer farming called Deer and Wildlife Stories. And it was on the Pursuit Channel, which is on, I think, DirecTV and some other networks like that. And for me, I had a huge decision to make. I was still 2-3 semesters away from graduating college. So I knew that if I was to leave, I would have to put that on hold, and maybe I wouldn't even get to do that for a long time, if ever. But at the same time, I also knew that this was an opportunity that may never come again. And so I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I talked to my pastor about it. I was like, can you give me some advice? Like, I'm praying about this, but I can't seem to find an answer. And I met with some of my professors, and I talked about it with my parents, and I just could not figure out if I should quit college and move to Central Texas and do this or not. I mean, other than the TV show, I didn't really know anybody in Central Texas. Where the job was at was in New Braunfels, and I was looking at moving to San Marcos, which actually was only 15 minutes from Wimberley, where I lived until I was 11 years old. It's only like 15, 20 minutes away from there. But I had been gone for a long time, and I didn't really know anybody anymore. And so I'd be moving to a new place, taking a job and a field that I didn't even know if I was quite ready for, because I knew video, but I didn't know anything about TV. And I'd be leaving school. But the flip side of it was, this could be the journey that I could go on that would lead me to being a full-time video producer, and everything my grandmother would have invested in when she invested in me would be worth it if I took this, and it worked out. So after talking to some people about it and after praying about it, some of my professors told me, Josh, an opportunity like this doesn't come every day, and you're just a college student. You're not married. You don't have kids. You don't have anybody to support but yourself, and the job's pretty good paying, and you get benefits. And worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. You move back here and you finish school. And, whenever they told me that, I convinced myself that that was the path I needed to take. So I did it. I left SFA and I moved to San Marcos with a friend of mine. And he came with me, not to work for the TV show, but to kind of help continue growing my video production company, because I didn't want to quit doing Broken Pine Outdoors. I just wanted to start doing the TV show and grow Broken Pine Outdoors on the side. And so he was going to help me do that. So we moved down to Central Texas, and that was, that was the path that got me to where I am now. In fact, I'm still living in the same house I was living in when we moved here 5 years ago. But I took over the lead producing job for Deer and Wildlife Stories, and why I got the job was because the producer had seen some of the deer farming videos I had made and or deer breeding videos, and he really liked it. And since the videos I made were in the same industry that his TV show covered, he thought I'd be a good fit. And so that's how I got the job. And so I moved down here and I took the job, and I was making pretty good money, and I wasn't even a college graduate, and I was all self-taught. So to me, I felt like, man, I'm doing pretty good. And I did that job for about a year. I actually did the job for about 2 years, but I did it for about a year at first. And I realized after the first year that, man, I am doing the work of like three people. And what I mean by that is when he brought me in, he let go of a couple people and he replaced them with me. And what it was that I was supposed to be doing was filming the show, directing the show, editing the show. I mean, I was supposed to be doing everything from basically he was the host of it. But I was going to call most of the shots and I was going to put it together and send it from concept to final production and deliver it to the network. I mean, I had a lot of responsibility and I had a lot of things I was going to have to learn on the fly. And after a year of doing that, I realized, man, it's a lot of work for one person. And so I started to realize that I didn't know if that was a path I wanted to stay on, because I was working so much doing this job that I was not really getting to grow my Broken Pine Outdoors business a whole lot. So after a year of working as an employee, I met with the host of the show and we talked about it, and he agreed to let me leave as a salary employee and become a contract employee. Or a contract laborer. And that was perfect for me, because then I didn't have to go to the office all the time. I was never on the clock per se. I had a job, and my job was to produce the show, and that was it. And so, and we also did hunting shows too. I should say that I was the lead producer during Wildlife Story, but I was a field producer for The High Road, which is a hunting show that was on the same channel, Pursuit Channel. And so I went on contract, and I worked as a day rate employee, and I edited for him, I shot for him, and I put together these shows, but I didn't have like a 40-hour work week or anything like that. I got to stay at home, except for when we were traveling, and the rest of the time I was at home working and just completing the jobs and sending them off, and when I was done with the show, I could do my own thing. And so what that did is it freed up a lot of room for me to be able to focus on growing my business. So I did that for about a year, and around that time, I also decided that I wanted to change my business name from Broken Pine Outdoors to Rustic River Media, because I knew that too many people in the non-outdoor world would never call me if my name was Broken Pine Outdoors, because I sounded like I was an outdoor-related company. I mean, that's what my title literally said I was. So around the time I went on contract with this TV show, I created Rustic River Media, and it was a hard thing to do, because it was a lot of work. I had to create a new website. I had to create a new logo. I had to file an LLC and get a DBA, and I had to do all these things, but it was well worth it. And by the time it was done and I had everything put together, I had this really cool media production company located in Central Texas in a booming area. It's like one of the fastest growing parts of Texas. And no longer was I, you know, confined to working in the outdoor world as per the name of my business. And so I was able to really start putting some marketing dollars behind my business and start growing it. And that was around that time, that's when my career really took off, because now I've had TV experience and I've got this company located in Central Texas in a booming part of Texas. And I have the time to put towards growing my business, and I could support myself from the TV show while putting any money I made from my side business, Rustic River Media, I was able to put straight back into the business to continue growing it. So I was able to buy gear fast, because I was supporting myself on the TV show and I was buying equipment from Rustic River Media. And I was able to quickly put together a vast assortment of equipment, and I was able to put together some really good marketing strategies. The guy that was working with me around that time, he left to go back to college because he decided that video just wasn't for him. So I was on my own completely, but it was okay, because I had time now to grow my business, because I was no longer a full-time employee with the TV show. And so, man, I just started rocking and rolling, and I started getting jobs in all sorts of places. And one of the ways I started getting business was by offering to do a free video for a local school. And when I did the video, we played it at a banquet where a bunch of small business owners were. And when these small business owners saw this video I did for the school, they approached me after the banquet and asked to meet with me. And we set up coffee meetings, and I started selling jobs to them. And word just started getting around town of this Rustic River Media guy who has this company here in San Marcos that works all over the world. I mean, I was traveling for TV, and I was traveling for my Rustic River Media job, and I had all this equipment, and I had this experience, and my business just really started to take off. And so after about a year of doing that, I ended up leaving the show entirely to put all of my focus into Rustic River Media. And I've been doing that now for, I don't know, four or five, I think I've been running Rustic River Media for 4 or 5 years now. And it's been great. I've been afforded the opportunity to work all over. I've shot documentary films in Pakistan and Mongolia and Mexico. I've shot commercial work for outdoor stuff in Alaska and all over Canada. I've been all over the place. I've shot TV shows all over. I've worked with all kinds of great companies and all different kinds of industries, from doing freelance work for eBay and doing commercial work for farmers insurance agencies. And so I started meeting a lot of really neat people, and I started getting to go to some really crazy places. And it all happened because I put myself out there. I mean, what really happened, because those guys invested in my business when I was in college, and it continued to happen because my grandmother invested in me. But I definitely didn't take that opportunity for granted, and I gave it everything I had. And I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I've had over the years trying to teach myself stuff, staying up till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, reading articles and trying different things out. But it's all been completely worth it, because that's how I got my company to get to where it is today. And I love it. And today, my wife now works with me full time. We met not long after I moved down to the San Marcos area. And she recently, about 6 months ago, graduated with her master's in clinical mental health counseling. But she's actually working with my business now, and she does photography and all kinds of administrative stuff. And she helps me with the commercial side of things. She's an excellent writer. And so we work together now, and we contract out work when we need extra hands. And we've been able to grow into doing more than just video. We offer photography and website design and social media management as well. And now we do TV commercials, website videos, documentary films, TV shows, and movie theater ads that you would see when you go to movies, some of the pre-roll ads. We do stuff like that too. So we do all kinds of stuff. And honestly, it's been one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. Now, I'm a Christian, and I'll always say that the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I got saved, and the second greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I met my wife. But I'd say that Rustic River Media has also been a great opportunity for me. And so if you're out there and you're wanting to start a business, any kind of business, even if it's not video production, it doesn't matter what the business is. I mean, you can do it. It's hard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can't tell you how many days I thought that I was going to have to give up, or how many times I've had to live off of ramen. I remember when I was dating my wife, there were some days where she actually literally had to buy groceries for me because I had like $10 in cash. But that's the road you go down when you're self-employed, and it's the road you go down when you're building a business. But the flip side of that is when you're not an employee, you can make your own schedule. You can pick and choose your clients when you get big enough. You can open up opportunities to travel the world depending on what your job is. And you can eventually make more money, because when you start to create a name for yourself in whatever industry that is, you could start to open up so many doors that never would be possible if you were to work as an employee for someone else. And there's nothing wrong with being an employee. But if you're wanting to start a business, I mean, there's just so many reasons to do it. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but it's, in my opinion, it's completely worth it. And if you're wanting to get into the video production business, and I talked about this in the first podcast episode that we recorded several weeks ago, but if you're wanting to get into the video production business, I would encourage you to do it similar how I did it. Maybe you won't have a grandmother to invest in you, and maybe you won't have some of the opportunities I have. You might have better opportunities. I don't know your circumstance, but I would want to encourage you to not do it full time until you have built up a list of clients. And that's something I had to do. I had to work my way into getting some side jobs and then move into the TV side of things and do that full time while I grew my business. And it wasn't until I had enough clients to support myself that I felt comfortable leaving the TV show. And so if you're wanting to start a company in the video production world or the photography world or the editing world or a little bit of all of it like I do, then I want to encourage you that you can do it, but maybe think of not doing it until you have some clients. Maybe keep your job. Any money you make off your side business, you can put back into your business to help you grow your business by investing in equipment or marketing dollars or putting together a portfolio or a website or things like that. I think that's a really good way to approach it, because if you go that route, then you can keep yourself from burning out and from starving. Because if you try to go at it full time right out of the gate, you might not be able to survive and you might give up 3, 4, 5 months into it. And so I want to encourage anybody out there who's interested in starting a business like this to maybe start as a side business first. Don't try to jump in all the way until you have enough clients. And that's something I really feel strongly about. But don't think you can't do it, because you can. If I can do this, anybody can do this. I mean, seriously, it's not rocket science. You just have to be passionate. You have to be willing to give it your all. And you have to learn how to not give up, even if it means eating ramen for a month straight. Just hang in there, because if you put enough effort into it and you treat people right, your day will come. And whatever industry that is, whatever your business is, that day will come if you do the right things. I truly believe that. But this is a little bit about me. I mean, this is how I got my start and how I got Rustic River Media to be what it is today. And now I really am focusing a lot on the educational side, not even really to make money, but just to kind of show people how they can do what I did, how you can learn about videography and photography and editing, or how you can learn about business side of things, or how you can get clients. Because I've been down that road, and I know it's really tough to try to figure all those things out on your own. And so hopefully through this podcast or through the Filming with Josh Facebook group or just through a relationship that maybe we can build together, maybe in some capacity I can help you out some. And that's something that I really hope I can do for people out there, because I know what it's like to go down that road, and I know how hard it can be, but I also know how rewarding it can be. So if you ever want to learn more about how you can start any company, no matter what the company is, feel free to reach out to me or anybody else out there that started a business. I mean, there's so many entrepreneurs out there, no matter the industry, that I'm sure would be happy to tell you their story and to talk to you about how they did things. Because the thing about entrepreneurs is that it's almost like a band of brothers and sisters in a way, because entrepreneurs understand how hard it is to start a business. And most of us want to give back to others. So don't be afraid to reach out to me or other people out there to ask questions on how you can do this, because it's possible. And people like us, we're willing to help you out. If you want to learn even more about my business, you know, feel free to check out my work on www.rusticriver.media, or you can look up my Facebook page, Rustic River Media, or my Instagram, rustic_river_media. Feel free to follow my podcast. I love it if you do. I put together stuff like this all the time, whether it's tips and tricks and how to make flicks, as my intro says, or talking about my story or other people's stories. I mean, we hope to have many more podcasts just like this. So follow my podcast if you don't already. And be sure to rate it. If you like it, let me know. And if you hate it, let me know. I want to learn how I can improve upon my podcast to help you get more out of it. Please join my Facebook group, Filming with Josh, and be a part of a community of entrepreneurs and videographers and photographers, and be a part of this growing community of people that want to teach each other how to learn more about this industry. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to my story. And if you have a story like mine, be sure to send me an email at josh@rusticriver.media and let me know your story. I'd love to hear it. Thank you, guys. Take care.
To learn more about Rustic River Media, visit us online at rusticriver.media. Thanks for listening to the Filming with Josh podcast. Catch every episode by hitting subscribe today.